You are listening to Stitch Wish Radio, a podcast for crafting your own magic and threads. I'm your host, textile artist, author, and teacher, Christy Johnson.
Hello, and welcome back to Stitch Wish Radio. I decided to start recording these as video so we can watch them on YouTube if you want to. We are currently in not my studio. We're on a totally different floral couch. I have more floral couches than one person probably should. So I want to talk about our ideas around the meaning of, quote, making it. I'm so often talking about making things in the literal sense on my teachings on embroidery and making clothes, which be sure to listen to the end for some exciting free offers I've got coming up to help you out with your own process of making things. But I also want to talk about ideas of success and how I shifted my idea of what, quote, making it really means. And also, I want to offer a little bit of advice about how we can get closer to our own ideas of success. Hint, it takes way less work than you'd think. First, I want to quote a book that I read a while back. It's by Tom Robbins. I don't know if his books age very well. I haven't read them in years. That's beyond the point. This quote from the book, Half Asleep in Frog's Pajamas, like smacked me in the face when I read it. It just, the truth of it felt so incredibly identifiable that it's just stuck in my head ever since then, 10 years since reading it. So, the lie of progress, the lie of unlimited expansion, the lie of grow or perish. Listen, we built ourselves a fine commercial bonfire, but then instead of basking in its warmth, toasting marshmallows over it, and reading the classics by its light, we became obsessed with making it bigger and hotter, until the flames didn't leap higher from one quarter to the next. It was cause for great worry and dissatisfaction. Nature has always set limits on growth, limits on the physical size of individual species, limits on the size of populations. Did he really believe capitalism was exempt from the laws of nature? Drop mic. So I read this book on a plane back from Hawaii in the spring of 2013. I was working a full-time job at I'll call it corporate light company. Not really full corporate, but not independent. And I knew my time there was limited. So something inside me told me it would be a very long time before the concept of a paid vacation would be available to me. I knew I wanted to work for myself, and I knew that I should probably milk it for all it was worth. At this point in time, I had also broken up with my boyfriend months earlier. He was still living on my couch. So I was like, any chance I had to not be at home, I jumped on. So I booked a ticket to Hawaii and during this time had a really, really, enlightening experience of just like between reading that and staying at a place that was, it was called the Hobbit House. I don't know if they still rent it out or not, but the guy basically built this off-grid house. He was at the top of this very high hill and he had, you know, avocado trees, papaya trees, all these amazing vegetables and fruits that he grew himself. He produced his own electricity. He was an engineer, so he had like the ability to do all that. But it was just such an inspiring way to think about how we can choose the way that we live our lives. And while also reading that at the same time and seeing this person who really just built themselves their own little paradise in a paradise, it was really just beautiful. And the reflection of this against the job that I was working at, this job where I discovered that, you know, these dreams and goals that I had, dreams like I will sell to stores like Barney's and I'll have my clothes gracing glossy magazines and I'll make six figures and then I will really have made it. I realized those dreams were ultimately not fulfilling as I saw many of the higher ups in this company really nailing those milestones and still left with the same problems. They were not getting enough sleep. They were not getting sufficient sleep. They were not finding the right partners. They were not able to own their home in Los Angeles and were, you know, dealing with rent hikes where in Los Angeles, even $1 million gets you like this tiny studio apartment bungalow with no outdoor space and you're on a busy street that you can't park on Wednesdays at 6 to 8 a.m. or Fridays from 1 to 3 p.m. And I have like night sweats waking up in cold sweats still to this day from that, like, is my car parked on the right side of the road? Am I going to wake up to a ticket? So I just knew I needed to get out of that. And it seemed to me like making it was not all it was cracked up to be. And the more successful I became in the fashion industry, the less I actually was making anything. The idea that I could get all the things and still not be content was this giant red flag waving from the top of this mountain of success in fashion. So I took the first chance I could to get out of there and start to consider what would really make me happy. I was lucky enough where just fate kind of happened. My boss knew that I was not really happy there anymore. And so I had the amazing opportunity where my boss just brought me in the office and said, hey, we're actually going to be shutting down the division that you're working on. But we can, you know, we can send you off with a severance package because you want to get out of here anyways, right? And it was just like this magical meeting of worlds. So I went to New York and I was doing my artist residency at Textile Art Center, which I love. That's one of my favorite places. It's like the most magical environment to be in, and learning a little bit more about natural dyes there, which I was really focused on at the time. And it was in New York City that I discovered what I cherish most, because nothing will tell you what makes you happy like spending a year and a half in a city that has almost none of those things. I mean, don't get me wrong. In New York City, the community, the culture, and the collectives of artists there are just like a thick, warm blanket that I was able to wrap myself around while waiting for the J train above ground in freezing cold temperatures. But I just really loved watching the people and their resilience and their honesty and their love. And that was the only thing that kept me there for even that short amount of time. Yet still there it was, bigger than I'd ever seen, the push to grow more, be more, expand more, get bigger, make more, earn more. And I just wanted a place where I could just be, where I could just watch the grass grow and watch the flowers bloom and watch fruit ripen on trees and watch the leaves change colors and watch the snow fall, which I'm doing right now, while it covers everything for months while nothing happens except for the occasional snowplow that will roll by. And the city was just not the place that was happening. I knew that, but I knew I needed to get out of LA. So now I'm starting to finally feel comfortable with my small dreams, not giving a damn about what next quarter sales are, not having to concern myself with the scalability of my company, which is really not scalable at all because I'm the only person here, the ability to go long periods of time without checking my email and knowing that everything will still be just fine. No need to fake it till you make it, just making it and enjoying the whole process along the way. Because that dress in my shop that maybe you like to look at, I made it. This sweater that I'm wearing right now, I made it. In the most literal sense of the word, I made it. And I'm going to keep making it. And quite honestly, I love seeing you make it. So in this episode, I want to open the door to ask you on these steps on your creative freedom and finding through that creative freedom in other areas of your life, what is it that you want to make? As we head into the holiday season, end of the year, maybe you have some time off, maybe it's the busiest time of your year, but I want to encourage you to start to carve out your own idea of what making it might look like for you. We can sometimes get so lost in the big goals that we forget what we want our day-to-day life to look like. What is your reason behind achieving those big goals? Is it to find more peace in your daily life? Is it to spend more time with family? Is it to help support your community? And how can you, before you achieve your biggest goals, bring these visions into your daily lives today? In what way are you maybe denying your current life in hopes of a better future? So for example, I sometimes find myself working really hard and kind of ignoring my daughter so that I can make some money to buy more time to spend with my daughter. And then I go, hold on, I think I'm doing this backwards. If you're working 70-hour weeks in hopes of buying more time to spend with family, is there a way to bring the main goal into the forefront, into focus in your daily life now? If you're pinching and saving to buy a home or upgrade your living situation while looking around at your current home in despair, is there a way to maybe make your current home feel a little more like it's your own? It seems pretty obvious, but sometimes we could all use a little nudge to do some self-reflecting. I know I do. Because you too can make it in this mad world. And if you want to make your own clothes, not sweaters, like I can't tell you how to make this yet, but more like boxy tops, flowing dresses, wide leg pants, be sure to check out my Soft Work online course, which is opening back up for enrollment, and just some, a little bit about the course. It's a study of shapes, the rectangle of fabric, in conjunction with our own form. How can we use these rectangles of fabric in a way that's much more zero waste than what traditional garment making is? So how can we cut these forms in a way that uses up the majority of the fabric and doesn't leave us with a lot of scraps? The format is all pre-recorded videos separated by specific techniques, so it's really easy to refer back to. And it includes these new Make It With Me lessons, where I walk you through exactly how I use these teachings to design and sew pieces for my own wardrobe. But this round, I'm going to do it a little bit different, and it'll probably be like this from here on out, but I think that I'm done with doing Q&As for the class. As I've done the class more, not many people seem to have questions, because as I've been doing the class, I've been updating and clarifying the materials, especially with the Make It With Me lessons, where you can see these materials actually applied to specific shapes and garments. So it seems like there's not really a need for the Q&As, and I'm also available by email. So if anybody has a problem, you send me a picture, send me a video, send me questions, whatever, and we can figure it out. But since there's no Q&As, I'm just going to leave the class open for purchase at any time. It's not going to be like open enrollment, closed enrollment. But for the month of December, it will be $50 off for the first time ever. This is the first time I've ever put this class on sale. And also, if you want to get a feel for my teaching style, then sign up for my newsletter and you will get free access to the first lesson, which is the mini garment drawing course, which is truly a delight. I almost feel like I shouldn't be giving it away for free, but I really want to share my teaching style. Since I know software can be a really big investment, I want you to feel really confident in purchasing it and understanding what you're getting into. All of that is linked up in the show notes, or if you're watching this on YouTube, it's right there down below this. Okay, thanks for listening to more of my rambles. I'll be back in a couple weeks with more thoughts on sustainable clothing, textile arts, design, whatever. Right, bye for now.